Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is January 9th, 2020, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is EM Doc's Got an Ambu Bag, The Prevent Trial, and our guest skeptic is Andrew Merrillman. He is a critical care paramedic and second-year medical student at Rocky Vista University in Colorado. His primary interests are resuscitation, critical care, airway management, and hocus pocus. Welcome to the SGM, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great having you back because I love having paramedics on the SGM. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because great emergency care doesn't usually start with me. It starts with someone out in the field, a layperson. But I think people deserve great care from the time they reach out to EMS, and it continues all the way through the care with me, but also to discharge and follow-up. No sibling rivalry here, just great team care.
Yep, I totally agree. It's a big continuum of care that really should start at the point of contact, and you know, there's no reason somebody can't receive the same quality care in the field as they do in the hospital, so we're all working toward the same end goal.
Yeah, we all work for the patient, right? Best care based on the best evidence. So you got a case for me?
Yeah, we sure do. So we have a 60-year-old male in your emergency department with sepsis from pneumonia. He has a worsening work of breathing and a decreasing level of consciousness. You decide based on his clinical presentation that he needs to be intubated. Due to his already poor oxygenation, you're concerned about him desaturating during intubation, and you're wondering if there's anything you can do to help prevent it.
Well, emergency medicine is often referred to as the ABC specialty. That's airway, breathing, and circulation. And we've covered airway a few times on the SGEM, and I'll list those in the show notes.
Yeah, so our typical go-to in the emergency setting is rapid sequence intubation. That's been the mainstay of emergency airway management for years. But there are aspects of the procedure that have been debated, and one of which is how best to oxygenate the patient during the apneic period, if at all, while not increasing rates of aspiration.
Yes, the controversy about apneic oxygenation is not something I'm going to get into today. I don't want to poke my friend, my FOMED friend, that guy who runs EM Crit. Yes, you know him. You love him. Weingart here. So why don't you just give us a clinical question?
So the clinical question is bag mask ventilation performed during the apneic period of RSI in critically ill adults safe and effective, with the apneic period being defined as the time between administration of RSI medications and intubation?
And what's the reference, Andrew?
So the reference is Casey et al., and it's bag mask ventilation during tracheal intubation of critically ill adults, and that was in the New England Journal in February of 2019.
All right, let's run through that PICO. What was the population?
So our population was adult patients more than 17 years of age undergoing induction and tracheal intubation in the intensive care unit.
And there were a number of exclusions, which included patients who were pregnant, incarcerated, had immediate needs for intubation, or if the treating clinician felt that ventilation was indicated or contraindicated between the induction and laryngoscopy. How about the intervention?
So the intervention was bag valve mask ventilation during the time between administration of sedation and paralysis and insertion of the laryngoscope into the mouth for intubation.
And what did they compare it to?
They looked at apnea with or without nasal cannula oxygenation during the time between administration of sedation and paralysis and insertion of laryngoscope into the mouth for intubation.
All right, give me the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
Sure, so that was the lowest oxygen saturation observed during the interval between induction and 2 minutes after tracheal intubation.
Ooh, nice to see that they did have one primary outcome. How about the secondary outcomes?
Secondary was the incidence of severe hypoxemia, so that was defined as oxygen saturation of less than 80%.
So the author's conclusions were, quote, among critically ill adults undergoing tracheal intubation, patients receiving bag mask ventilation had higher oxygen saturation and lower incidence of severe hypoxemia than those receiving no ventilation. All right, let's run through the quality checklist for RCTs. First question, Andrew, is, are these emergency patients?
No, so all these patients were in the ICU.
All right, were they adequately randomized?
They were randomized in a 1-to-1 ratio in permuted blocks of 2, 4, and 6, stratified according to the trial site.
And did they conceal the randomization?
Yes, but they used opaque envelopes.
Yeah, there's more advanced ways than just using opaque envelopes in this day and age. Okay, question number four. The patients, were they analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized?
Yes, they were.
And the study patients, were they recruited consecutively?
We're unsure. It wasn't really clear.
The patients in both groups, were they similar with regards to prognostic factors?
No, and not in all cases.
And all participants, were they unaware of group allocation?
No, they could not be blinded, just due to the nature of the interventions.
Were all groups treated equally except for the intervention?
No.
How about the follow-up? Was it complete?
Yes.
All patient important outcomes were considered?
No, they were not.
And the last question, the 11th question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Unfortunately, we cannot be sure.
All right, let's go through those results. They screened almost 700 patients and enrolled 401 patients. The median age was 60 years, 56% were male, and half the patients had sepsis or septic shock. But what was the big result?
So they found that bag mass ventilation group had higher oxygen saturations and less severe hypoxemia compared to the control group.
All right, so for some close spaced repetition with that primary outcome, the lowest oxygen saturation, that was the primary outcome. What was the result?
So they found 96% to be the lowest oxygen saturation in the BMV group and 93% in the no ventilation group.
And how about the secondary outcome?
Secondary outcome was 11% in the BMV group had severe hypoxemia versus 23% in the no ventilation group.
All right, those were the key results. It's time to talk nerdy. You ready, Andrew?
I'm ready.
Oh, I love talking nerdy. Okay, first point I wanted to make was about the patients themselves. The patients in this study were recruited from 7 academic intensive care units in the United States. 80% of the patients were intubated for respiratory failure, while many adult patients in the emergency department are intubated for the same reason, many others are intubated for things like cardiac arrest, trauma. It all depends on where you're working. So it's unclear if this study population from the ICU has external validity outside of the ICU to where you might be working in your emergency department.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely unclear if we can generalize these results outside of the ICU down to the ED. And another thing about the patients who were excluded, the study did not enroll those patients judged to be very high risk of desaturation or aspiration, those that had hypoxemia or had acidemia. And these are the patients that we potentially care more about when it comes to peri-intubation, oxygenation, and ventilation. So it's tough to say if these results are generalizable to this population as well.
Let's stick with patients for the second nerdy point, and this is about consecutive patients. They claim that patients were recruited consecutively, and we like to see that as a quality indicator. However, selection bias could have crept into this because patients could be excluded if they required immediate intubation or if the treating clinician felt, in my clinical judgment, that ventilation was indicated or contraindicated between the time you induced them and laryngoscopy.
Yeah, this is a pragmatic approach, but it does introduce subjectivity into the process and could have resulted in bias. It's unclear if this would have made any meaningful impact on the results, but we can't really be sure.
All right, well, let's talk about prognostic factors for point number 3. Another quality indicator for randomized control trials is that both intervention and control groups are similar with regards to prognostic factors. There were statistically significant differences between the two groups, with 10% more patients having pneumonia and 6% less having GI bleeds in the control group.
Yeah, that's a great point. We definitely need to make sure that the groups are similar so that we can compare them on an even playing field. Another quality indicator is that both groups are treated equally except for the intervention. And in this trial, that was not the case. The bag mask ventilation group was more likely to be pre-oxygenated with a BVM, 40% versus 11%, while the no ventilation group was more likely to be pre-oxygenated with non-invasive ventilation, 24% versus 16%. And we know pre-oxygenation can have an impact on likelihood of desaturation during intubation.
And there's one other little point I wanted to just throw in there. The BMV, the bag mass ventilation in this trial was done extremely well. The providers in the trial were trained to provide appropriate rates, volumes, adequate mask seals, And this is not typical in most emergency departments, but I just wanted to add that little note in there. But this is the fifth and final point, and this is about do's, moos, and poos. The primary and secondary outcomes were disease-oriented outcomes, or do's, or you could also refer to them as monitor-oriented outcomes. Moos, at least I'm trying to coin that term. The median lowest oxygen saturation and incidence of severe hypoxia are surrogate markers, or SUS, and they don't represent true patient-oriented outcomes, or POOs, and that's what we want to see.
Absolutely. We don't know if these numbers that they found as far as desaturation is actually going to impact how these patients do in the long run. They did look at a number of exploratory-oriented outcomes, which is EUs, for safety, for example, aspiration, new opacity on chest x-ray, and cardiac arrest, and efficacy, for example, mortality, days in the ICU, and ventilator-free days. However, they did not include what could be considered the most important POO, survival with good neurological outcome.
Boom, there it is. Yeah, we want to see survival with good neurologic outcome. But of course, that would take a very large study and that would cost a lot. And so often we have to rely on these surrogate markers to help inform our care. But those are the five nerdy points. It's time to comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
So we generally agree with the author's conclusions, but would also add that a statistical difference in a disease-oriented outcome does not necessarily translate into a clinically important patient-oriented outcome.
All right, how about a SGEM bottom line?
So I think the bottom line, it is unclear if bag mask ventilation in critically ill patients requiring intubation provides a clinically important benefit or is safe.
And how about a case resolution?
In our case, because the patient is at high risk of desaturation during intubation, you make a plan that optimizes pre-oxygenation. You use your clinical judgment and provide gentle, controlled bag mask ventilation during the apneic period to prevent desaturation.
And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to jump in and give the clinical application. So for the clinical application, we put, due to the multiple limitations identified in this trial, it's difficult to know how to clinically apply this data. And this is a common problem faced by clinicians practicing evidence-based medicine. The literature, it informs our care and it guides our care, but it shouldn't dictate our care. When we do not have definitive literature for efficacy or safety, we must rely more upon our clinical judgment. And in addition, we do not know if bag mask ventilation will result in a clinically important outcome, survival with good neurologic outcome. This does not mean we should not perform very good pre-oxygenation, though, prior to intubation. So what are you going to tell the patient, Andrew?
So we're going to tell them you have pneumonia and it's making it difficult for you to breathe. We can help by putting a breathing tube in your throat. This will make it easier to breathe and give time for antibiotics to have time to work. This can be scary. Before we would put the tube down your throat, we would give you some extra oxygen to make it safe. Then, if you say okay to the tube, you will get some medicine to relax, and so you will not remember the experience. We will do everything possible to make sure this is successful and there are no complications.
Okay, it's time to announce the Keener Contest winner. There was no winner last week. The correct answer would have been, Michigan is a Native American word meaning great water. What's the question this week?
So the question is, what do moans, M-O-A-N-S, and bones, B-O-N-E-S, stand for in the context of bag mask ventilation?
Oh, if you know what the moans and bones are in bag mask ventilation, then you send me an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, thanks, Andrew, for coming back on the SGEM and helping me cut that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, and I am a big proponent of your efforts to cut down that knowledge translation window, so thank you for having me.
Well, then, can you give the SGEM tagline?
I'd love to. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week. Papa's got a brand new bag.